Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, all of you. I think I've designed something really special today for you because I acknowledge that you are listening to these shows because you've decided to take responsibility for your health. And I'm going to give it to you straight today. My experience as a doctor over two decades is that your perception as the patient of how to measure the efficiency, the efficacy of your healing requires a deeper insight, and I'm going to give that to you today. Because, you know, what it comes down to in your experience as a patient, as a person out there in the audience that listens to these shows because you have health concerns, is that you devote money, energy, time to your healing. And your question is, over a month or two or three, is that devotion paying off or not paying off? Now, I sit there behind the desk as the doctor. I treat many of you each week. I'm having the pleasure of getting to know so many of you. You can learn so much on the phone, etc. And I listen to your stories and your conclusions about the things that you did to help yourself, what you paid for to do to yourself to help yourself, and the conclusion you draw as you look for that wonderful day when you lead a healthy life again. And my frustration is that you don't have enough clear perception of what it takes to heal. In other words, I wish that you were prepared to come in to an office to talk to a doctor. Because too often, your version of reality and how you're going to measure efficacy in your process has nothing to do with how the doctor sees it. You see, often you, the patient, have already committed years ago to a perception of reality that's, I'm sorry, I don't know a better word than delusional. And you go round and round and round and round until patients come in finally frustrated. They're at their wit's end. They've tried this, they've tried that, they've been to this doctor, they've been to that doctor. And really, it's your perception of it. And it's not your fault. You've got to get the education. So I want to spend the next 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, discussing something I created, the 20 signs that you are surely healing. The 20 signs that you are surely healing. And here's the big news. In other words, this is what you have to get from this. Many of these signs that we're going to discuss today occur long before there's any change in your symptomology. I'm going to repeat that. These 20 signs, many of them are going to occur before you have less pain, or before you have less symptomology, or before you think you're healing. They're flickers. They're little signs, you see. And many of these signs you miss. You miss because you haven't been trained to respect them, and that is why you fail. Now, what I can tell you is that this is so important to understand that however you want to look at this, God, I will say, offers you a flicker of healing in the beginning. That's the way it works. And we are always wasting our time looking for the big miracle, and so we miss these little flickers in that dark and stormy journey that we call a healing. And we put our attention in the wrong place. You see, healing is an exercise in faith, and I know you would agree with that. But you see, translated into action, it means that you celebrate these little flickers and stop looking for that great big miracle that's usually a delusion. See, if you pass that test, the bigger ones are sure to appear. You see? Now, I've, in 2 decades, rarely see it any other way. I thoroughly believe in miracles. And I am sure that Jesus cured the sick in a miraculous way. I don't know many doctors that function the same way. And the miracles I always see happen when my patients attach themselves to these little things that occur long before their pain and their symptomology has decreased. So I created the 20 signs that you are healing. I want you to digest these and put them into your experience, and I want you to start attaching them to yourself, to your experience, so you sustain your healing. I want you to understand them at all costs, and as you're going to see over the next half an hour, some of them are going to be very counterintuitive. They're going to bend your perception of the reality of what it takes to heal. All right, I want to take the break early today. Let's take a quick break. We'll be come back and get to the list. Hi, my friends. This is Dr. Medici. Write this number down. 1-888-777-0711. That's 1-888-777-0711. That's my toll-free, super easy-to-remember phone number that allows you to get on the show with me live to get your health questions answered. That's 1-888-777-0711. I want to hear about your health concerns, your symptoms, your aches and pains, your questions about surgery. Anything under the name of health that concerns you concerns me, and I'll get it handled. And if it's inappropriate for the show or we need more time, I'll finish it after the show. That's 1-888-777-0711. And if you're shy and this isn't the kind of thing you do, do it anyway. I promise I'll make it easy. That's 1-888-777-0711. Hope to hear from you. Bye-bye. Okay, we're back. Now remember, this list is going to be posted onto my website shortly. That's straighttalk.cc. I've got the radio archives up now. So any of the shows that it's just too much information to download that fast to you, you can go on the website, straighttalk.cz, and hear the show again. And I'm going to be building this site out now rapidly. So thanks for your patience. Okay. Number one, the most important sign I look for as a doctor of 2 decades getting involved in ways you wouldn't believe with people who suffer from pain and illness. The number one sign is when somebody walks into my office and says, they just walk in and sit down, and before they tell me what's even wrong, they say, this doctor is not supposed to happen to me. They're not going to cut out my body part. I'm simply not going to say sick. This is wrong. I don't accept this. They go into this dialogue, I don't even know what's going on, but they want me to know right from the jump that this is not going to keep them sick. Now, don't misunderstand, I hear this all the time. The difference is that some people really mean it when they say it, and my ears, after 2 decades, are really trained to tell who is who. So when I hear the necessary sincerity behind those affirmations, I know they're talking to God. They're already where they're supposed to be, and I know they are going to heal. And you can come in with anything you want. I know when I hear that sincerity, we're going to be in good shape soon. You can bank on that. Some people just have the faith. And those are the ones I will assure a healing. And if I don't hear it, I don't say it. But when they come in ready, and you know who you are, plan on that accelerated evolution to health. With other people, they have to finesse it over time. They don't come in quite ready. And that's a lot more work for the doctor. The doctor's got to work to facilitate, to inspire. You know, we study this out in the wilderness when the plane crashes in the jungle or in the Antarctic or whatever, and people have to survive. Some do, some don't. All the psychological studies, when we interview the people, the survivors of the wreck that bled and suffered and starved in the wilderness for weeks upon week, and they made it. You see, they're asked, what was it? And they say, I don't know what it was. I just knew I wasn't going to die. And that's the way some people walk in when they're sick. And when they walk in that way, I confirm their suspicion that they're not supposed to be sick. Now, that's a party I want to have with someone. I don't think there's a more important sign. So, the 20 signs that you were going to heal. And again, these people come in and talk this way, and they're not feeling better yet. They are suffering tremendously. And they say that. The most important sign I just stated. All right. Number two. You're the patient or the person out there in the audience who celebrates these little gifts you get, these little flickers of healing. Example, the patient has low back pain, or their hand shakes vigorously, or they have vertigo, meaning the room. And after 2 months of devotion to their healing, nothing has improved. Now, I want to tell you that 80% of the time, lots has changed. They may be sleeping better. They may be 6 or 7 days in that 2 months when they had 50% less back pain. Or their vertigo went away, but then it came back with a vengeance on the day they walked into the office. So that doesn't count. Or for 2 months, their digestion has improved greatly. Their digestion, but who cares about their digestion? That wasn't their health concern, so it doesn't count. You see, this is delusional. They want what they want, when they want it, or it ain't no darn good. And if that person's you, and I know I'm talking to lots of people, I'm not scolding you. You just don't know. You are innocent. You have not put the time in and watched hundreds of healings progress. I'm simply pointing out to you that the body heals according to its own agenda. We as doctors never really know what it's doing. That's a joke. We act like we do. My God, I'll be 55 years old before I'm out of school. When I see a healing occur, I facilitate it. But I never knew what you were going to do when you did it. The body has its own plan, and that plan is divined from above. That's what has to be respected. And when it's not, when the patient decides they're going to control their healing, judge it on the basis of their parameters and not the divine's, you don't heal. You don't heal. The body has its own very special agenda. So if we focus on our agenda, we don't exalt those little flickers. Your digestion improved, your sleep improved. Those are not little things. Those are big things. It doesn't matter that it's not what you came in to have treated. You see, that's your act of faith. If you exalt those little gifts, then those little gifts mature into big gifts. But sometimes we don't because we're fixated on our pain. And that's it. We're fixated on our pain. So number two is what? That you exalt the little flickers. Number three is you don't stay fixated on your pain. The sickness is not a detour. Your chronic symptom that's getting in the way of doing what you want to do otherwise is not a detour. It's not in the way. It was supposed to happen. But that's not the way we look at it. We look at it like it shouldn't have happened. And now we're losing time and we have to spend all this money and we have to go to the darn doctor. And we can't do the things we want to do because we have the great misfortune of being out of commission. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I, Dr. Marshall, all of us as doctors that care, look for the patient who begins to understand that the illness, the sickness, the chronic painful symptom is not a detour, rather the beginning of a new life. The opportunity to realize your true self, because it was your fake self, the self that God wants you to disband from that got you sick. So that you might look upon the health challenge as a blessing someday and not an unfortunate dark black alley. Now, when I see a patient begin to understand these things, I know I will bear witness to a healing and not before. You see, that's the way it works. Which brings us to number four. Number three being, view the healing or the symptom as an opportunity to celebrate life. That's not a play on words. It's counterintuitive. But number three, the sign we look for is the patient that sees the sickness or the symptom as an opportunity to begin new life. And when we don't, it's because number four occurs. People make the mistake of looking for the doctor to provide the cure. Doctor, can you cure this? Can you cure me? This is what we're asked all the time. This is ludicrous. It appears rude to turn to a patient and say, you know, you're going to cure yourself. Patients tend not to like to hear that. That's abrupt. You see, can the herb cure you? Can the pharmaceutical drug cure you? Can the medicine cure you? Can the doctor cure you? Can someone cure you? No, it doesn't work that way. It comes from within. Can you cure you? Don't ask me, Medici, if I can cure you. I'm going to ask you, are you willing to commit to a journey with me, a dance ordered by the divine that intuits us to a healing together? Doctors do not provide cures. That's the trap for a doctor. As ye rise, so shall ye fall. If you as a doctor put yourself in that exalted place of providing cure, you're going to end up in a pothole. Doctors don't provide cures. They facilitate healings. And they're only successful when they can get you to have the right perspective. That is the whole point of being a doctor. You're a facilitator. You come down off that ivory tower within yourself sooner or later as a well-intentioned doctor to understand you don't run the show. You facilitate nature, and so on and so forth. There you have it. Four signs. You walk in ready to heal. You celebrate those little flickers. You understand that your illness is not an unfortunate detour, but an opportunity for new life. And get it straight. The doctor does not provide cures. The doctor facilitates healing. Now, those are the four exercises in faith. That's 1 through 4. Now we'll shift out of the metaphysical and we'll get to number 5. Have you gotten to the place where you, the patient, the listener in the audience, have you gotten to the place where although you still have the same symptom or chronic disease, your sleep has started to improve? I relax when my patients, products of years of interrupted sleep. And I think, honestly, as much as anything, it's interrupted sleep that gets people sick. It competes with your emotional fabric. It really does. I've pulled and pulled this for 20 years. Interrupted sleep. Very, 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 99% of the time before you get sick, for years before, your sleep was chronically interrupted. When you begin to sleep 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours per night of straight sleep, I celebrate that, and so should you. Now, this five straight is a minimum, okay? Do not be sick, chronically ill, sleeping 5 straight. That's a beginning, and you have to begin. And so focus on that. That's a darn good thing. It's also a threshold 5 straight. It gives the adrenals enough time to begin to recharge. But if you watch people heal, you see 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14 straight hours for a period of years. My God, you're sick to the point where you can't go to work, where you can't stand up, where you have to calculate exactly the amount of energy you have to make your breakfast. And you don't think that your healing means straight 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours per night? It does. Every serious healing I've ever seen, I've watched patients slip, shift, transition into deep, long hours of sleep. And when that shift occurs, the healing is proceeding nicely. And amazingly, those symptoms may still be there. And this is the point. Those symptoms are there while you transition into a better sleep pattern. And if you don't exalt those shifts in your sleep, you don't heal. You won't grow a new sleep pattern. Bad sleep is a bad gallbladder. Now, that's not news to many of you. But this is what I'm sure is news to many of you, that until the bile from the coffee enema, the olive oil flush, blows copiously, lots of yellow-green fluid coming out of you into the toilet, in plain English, until you see that, the sleep will often not be profoundly affected. The patient must evolve a term here, and you heard it in show one, which is on the archive now. The patient must evolve biliary patency, the free flow of bile, for the dramatic effect to occur. When I get that from a patient, it improves their sleep. It calms them down. They don't go into a sympathetic dominant pattern throughout the day, meaning a stressed out place, so that their cortisol rises in the afternoon and evening, and then they can't get to sleep. I want to take a moment, ladies, to point out something that your husband who snores, because I hear this all the time, I've just got to address it. If your husband snores, get the feminine foam earplugs. Get the feminine foam earplugs, okay? And get a good night's sleep. If that doesn't work, then sleep in another room. I mean it. Sleep in another room. If you have kids, babies, you popped out three in a row over 5 years. God bless you. If you have that thing where the kids are exhausting you, sleep in another room and give your kids to your husband twice a week. Hire a babysitter one night a week. Bring a relative in. Go into another room. Stop this ridiculous notion that you, as mom, have to stay up all night because of your children. Save yourself the trouble. Even if you do it two nights a week, it makes the difference. If you snore, if your husband snores, drop 40 to 80 pounds in 1 year. What is the CPAP machine? Doesn't that seem a little stupid? You've got to put on something that makes you look like Darth Vader. Otherwise, God forbid, you could increase the probability of this, that, and the other thing. Is that common sense to you? Has not God given us a better way to sleep than to put a machine on our face? 90% of the time, that snoring is simply about, and that apnea is simply about weight loss. And then there are a few other things that you can do that I can't get into today for that. Okay? And if that doesn't work, there are more solutions. Sleep is a whole other show. One book you get is Lights Out by Brent Formby. Lights Out by Brent Formby. He's got three PhDs. He's a professor up in UC Santa Barbara. He's a Swedish professor. He comes from Sweden. The book is Lights Out by Bent Formby, B-E-N-T Formby. Okay. Now, often, all right, I have seen this dozens of times, people do not sleep because they have collapsed beyond exhaustion. Now, listen to that. People do not sleep because they have collapsed beyond exhaustion. When you get tired, long-term, beyond exhaustion, the body goes into panic mode. Your entire neuroendocrine system flips upside down, and you live in shock. So you stop sleeping. Is that you? And not until you have refertilized yourself with enough healthy changes in lifestyle, you will not sleep because your glands are too exhausted. One quick trick that you haven't tried. Take three crystals of Himalayan rock salt, available in all the health food stores. That's three crystals of Himalayan rock salt, available in all the health food stores, and place them on your tongue at bedtime. And then dissolve the salt on your tongue by drinking an eighth to a quarter cup of warm water. The point is what? This was healing sign number five. Has your body begun to shift into a better sleep pattern? If it has, celebrate that flicker, even though you still have your pain. I do. You come into my office with your aches and pains and complaints, and I find out that three nights out of the week you've slept straight for the first time in 10 years. Guess what I'm going to point out to you? Number six, have you initiated your food cravings? Now there's one that slips by everybody. When the patient begins to crave certain foods, their spiritual intelligence, it's a very scientific term. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, Mr. Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking, if you saw this. You know, I'm sorry you don't believe there's a heaven. As was on the headline of MSN News about a week or two ago, Dr. Hawking, after years of analysis, so on and so forth, doing a wonderful job with his own illness, one of the greatest physicists this century, has decided that there is no heaven. I'm sorry you think that way. When your patient begins to crave certain foods, their spiritual intelligence, again, a very scientific term, will begin to dictate the healing. The trick here, you got to clean your palate first. And you won't clean your palate until you've transitioned to raw foods. Be patient with me. We're going to figure out what to do with the food thing. As I build out the website, I'll put videos on it. Maybe we'll put people in large groups. I tried this before. I wasn't thrilled about the results. But the trick here, you've got to clean your palate by transitioning to raw foods. Once the palate's clean, you're beginning to set yourself up to initiate the cravings so that your spiritual faculties will choose the foods. Even more than that, the person, the patient, you, have to understand that mastering food is an art and a science. It's something we understood on the farm, something we definitely understood as nomadics, but it's an art we've lost. When you get sick, unfortunately, people don't have a clue about how to initiate a craving. They don't live that way. They don't have an awareness of it. So when we're sick, most of us don't have the spiritual faculty functioning to evolve the food craving. In modern lifestyle, we only bear witness to the food craving with pregnant women. Yeah. Do you understand that? Pregnant women, when they have those cravings, it's nature's way of providing for the fetus. That's the big show. That's the big moment. That's the big 9 months that's going to determine an entire lifetime for a child. Now, the only other time you see this is when a person's been activated in a healing. They've cleaned the palate. They're still sick. And one day they start eating a certain food. Doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be a raw food. It's going to be a clean food. It's going to be a nutritious food. But they start craving it at the exclusion of all the other foods. I've seen people eat nothing but raw fish for months. I've seen people stop eating in the middle of a healing, drop 30 pounds of mucus and pus while they suck down nothing but raw squeezed orange and lemon juice. I've seen things you wouldn't believe when that spiritual faculty turns itself on. But it belies that people have developed enough relationship with food to do this. So number six is what? Have you initiated the food craving? Are you sitting there at the breakfast table, eating whatever, on the couch, doing whatever, and have you begun to realize that you're craving certain foods? Listen to that. You see? And that's all I can tell you about that now. That's a whole book in itself. But once I see the food craving, and you'll know the food craving, irregardless of your state of pain or discomfort, I know that you, and you should know that you, are on your way to a healing. Number seven, the patient gains weight. You start gaining weight and moving away from, I'm going to introduce another term, cachexia, or malnourishment, or deficiency, to a higher weight. In other words, you are in a state of malnourishment, deficiency, anorexia, not the disease anorexia, but you look anorexic. You're not putting on weight. You know who you are, and you, over time, put on 10 to 40 pounds of good muscle. Maybe long before you feel better, but you're gaining weight. I've got four patients like this, four different chronic illnesses, serious ones, debilitated them, over 20 years of debilitation. And within the last 2 months, they've put on 8 to 10 pounds. Don't walk in with a list of your complaints. walk in and say, I'm putting on weight. I'm not pulling these, making these up. You see people begin to put on weight. People begin to heal when they put on good muscle. And yes, you can do it and still have big health problems. This is the much-awaited shift from the catabolic state to the anabolic state, from catabolism to anabolism. It means that your intestinal villi, the suction cups in the small intestine, are no longer inflamed, so the person starts assimilating their fats and proteins, which accounts for the weight gain. Try doing this on a grain-based diet. If you're cachexic, try fixing the problem on a grain-based diet, and you'll understand my prejudice on grain-based diets. Okay? My experience is if you're cachexic on a grain-based diet, it just leads to more cachexia, and you will stay very ill. Again, you really have to understand food to negotiate yourself to a point where you can successfully assimilate 10 to 40 pounds of muscle. But that's the idea, you see. Again, the point is that the weight gain is critical. I'll give you an example. I have a patient in her early 30s. Yeah, I want to go into case studies. A patient in the early 30s. She's got severely burning feet for over 20 years and has rarely had a meal without severe abdominal pain. In 3 months that she's been eating correctly while being supplemented with a certain amount of herbs, she's drastically reduced the abdominal pain and she has gained about 12 pounds. For the first time, her cheeks are not hollow. She comes into the office a few weeks ago and starts going into vivid descriptions about the burning feet. Now, here's my point. I don't care about the burning feet. I'm not really concerned about her burning feet, nor will I give much attention to her burning feet. That is not the flicker that God is asking her or I to attend to. Because she's already shifted to the anabolic state. She's put on weight, and that assures me of her healing. And she will only heal as fast as she understands this, and not 1 second faster. And in the 6 months or so, what I'm seeing is that the whole healing is about getting the patient to understand this. So number six, the shift to the anabolic state out of cachexia. Just a little weight gain is another sign that you can take to a healing. Number eight, have the bile ducts opened. Have your bile ducts open. Again, the bile ducts, the bile ducts. This is going to be my swan song because it's such a big one. Why? Because only when the body can rapidly remove cellular debris can the organ or tissue undergo true repair. Unless the tissue or organ can remove the trash, it can't redecorate the room. When the bile ducts open, meaning when the coffee enema produces a copious flow of yellow-green fluid into the toilet, a signal goes out to each and every organ in the body to accelerate the regenerative process. If you're swallowing olive oil, the other kind of flush, and remember we did this in show one, which is you can archive, the one major flush every 4 to 5 weeks for 15 to 18 weeks will reverse 50 to 60 years or 70 years of deterioration within the tiny bile duct. So unless the bile flows copiously, the brain will not command the organ to dissolve its poison or its biofilm if you are chronically infected. So you can be where you're at in your healing. I'm interested when you walk in finding out whether or not you did a coffee enema and saw bile. No matter what state of disarray you come into my office with, if the bile ducts are opening, you are on your way. Number nine, have you healed sufficiently so that you can work vigorously throughout the day with very little food? Or are you still in the phase where you just fall down if you skip that meal? When the body can fast in the minor way, just for the day, and still allow a good day's work, it demonstrates that the shift in the glandular metabolism has occurred. That the adrenals, the thyroid, the testes, the ovaries, the hypothalamic, the pituitary, have primed themselves, have fed themselves, have stabilized themselves because you've had right living sufficiently for you to dissolve waste and repair tissue at exponential rates within a reasonable amount of time. You've got to prime and pump the glandular system to the point where your metabolism improves, and you can determine this basis on the ability to just skip the meal and keep going. Once you do that, your glandular system can tear down the infection or the granulated scar tissue and repair it with new tissue. That shift in metabolism I look for. And I chart all these things meticulously. I write them down each month, and so should you. You always want to have a little diary where you write all the things in and make sure you're adding up the good things, because that's how they grow. Because you need to lean on these gifts, because sometimes healing is a dark and rainy day. That's normal. You don't know that. That's normal. And you need to sustain yourself by buttressing yourself, giving yourself fortitude, something to lean on. And that's that little diary of all these meticulous notes you take. Because occasionally, you're going to detox. And that brings us to number 10. Number 10 is you detox. And all people detox as they mobilize a healing. And as you do that, you're going to have a bad day. We call this detox, or we call it the healing crisis, or the infamous Herxheimer reaction. It's supposed to happen. It simply means that when you are moving along nicely in a healing, and your body decides to break open a biofilm or open a poisonous closet of trapped granulated poison, that release may overload your ability to excrete the waste through the urine, the kidneys, or the biliary system, or the skin, or the breath, or the hands and feet and scalp. Your excretory centers are overloaded by this flood of poison into your blood. So for as long as you're going to have system overload, you're going to feel sick. And that happens to all of us. It happens to the best of us. We like to minimize this as doctors, but it's necessary. And you have to be ready for that. I look for the day when the patient can relax behind that moment and simply trust that along the way you're going to have good days and bad days, all of which you trust are normal and righteous during healing. You know, if you go to my website, right, it says health is an evolution. If you can understand that, you can heal chronic symptoms and chronic disease within accelerated amounts of time. That's it. 10 signs. It's 10 signs. It's taken us almost 40 minutes. It's the 10 signs, not the 20. The other 10 maybe we'll do next week. I got to take a brief time out now. Get on the phones. I'm always on the phones an extra hour after the show, so call even if I don't get to you. Give me a good workout today. We'll be right back.
Dr. Medici wants to thank everyone for listening to his show. And of course, you'll want to know how to make an appointment with the maestro yourself. If you're facing a health issue and need an expert orchestrator who can get to the underlying causes, then all you need to do is go to straighttalk.cc and click on Make an Appointment. Rachel or Joanna will call, get your appointment booked, and take the necessary initial health information. If you don't have a computer, feel free to call them directly at 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. Dr. Medici spends several hours initially getting to know you and understanding your health concerns. His healing methods are about quality of health as opposed to quantity of patients. Your health experience at the Premier Center will be different than any other doctor's office visit, guaranteed. To make your appointment, submit a request online at straighttalk.cc or by calling 310-320-1132.
Okay, we're back. All right. We have Rosie here from Orange County, and the call dropped off, but I'm going to take it anyway. So I'm going to comment on this case. She had a pocket in her tooth. It was drained during laser surgery, and the doctor prescribed antibiotics and insisted for her to take it. So she had a pocket or an abscess in the tooth. It was drained. The doctor prescribed antibiotics and insisted for her to take it. She doesn't want to take the antibiotics. What can she do to heal instead of the antibiotic? She's doing fine. It's just still a little tender. Here's the thing. I want the audience to understand this. If we're talking about an abscess in the gum, that's a cinch. All right? You get the MediClay, which is our dental clay. You might mix it with a capsule of the hydrochloric acid, the betaine hydrochloride. It's now the HCl. You make a little paste out of it, and you apply it to the gum. And that'll draw out the pus, the infection, if the abscess is in the gum. You could follow it up with a combination of neem oil mixed with neem bark powder mixed with limonene, and you just make a little paste out of that. That you apply to the infected area, and you simply keep it there and let the gum absorb it. That'll disinfect the gum, the periodontal ligament, the pocket of the tooth. However, this may be a different problem. She may be talking about a abscess that's at the end of the root tip, meaning a root canal. And I want to tell you guys something. I look for this all the time in my patients. If you have had a tooth that has had a root canal, and it's 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and you're still having problems with it, take that very, very, very seriously. And either fix it or get the tooth pulled and have the bone scraped, the pocket of the bone scraped by a competent oral surgeon. Make sure you do not take for granted or let it slip under the rug there. This situation where you've had a root canal, you've paid the money, you want the pain to go away. It's certainly a lot better, but it's just not quite right. Don't do that to yourself, because if it's not just quite right and you're into your third, fourth, fifth month, okay, you still have an infection, and that infection will grow. You will not beat that infection 9.9 times out of 10. Okay? All right. Let's go to the first line. Let's see. Patricia from Ontario. Which detox should she do first, the liver or the colon? Dr. Marshall suggested that she should do the liver first. Well, why doesn't she believe Dr. Marshall then? What am I supposed to do? Argue? Dr. Marshall suggested that she do the liver detox and the gallbladder after 3 weeks and start the coffee enemas. I'm going to agree with Dr. Marshall completely. Since menopause 5 years ago, and she's not sleeping throughout the night, has had the gallbladder removed. Uh-oh. She wishes she had done this, but did not know better at the time. Okay, let's go to Patricia from Ontario. Hi, Patricia. Dr. Medici.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Medici. Hold on 1 second. Let me get back a little bit. How are you?
Okay. All right. I just read, you probably heard, I just read the case. Couple of things. One, yes, you go after the liver first. Okay.
Okay.
And that you're on the liver nano and gallbladder nano. And in 3 weeks, you're going to start the coffee enemas. The one thing about the coffee enemas, you have to do them between 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that one slipped through the cracks then, so I'm very glad you called, okay? Because here's the reason, all right? Mm-hmm. The liver makes about a quart of bile, about 30 ounces of bile a day. It makes the bile that it would ordinarily store in the gallbladder, but it can't. It makes the bile between 10 and 11 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, in that 3 or 4 hour span.
Okay.
So the time for you to really do those enemas is between 11, 12, 1, and 2 o'clock, because that's when you're already making the bile. If you do the coffee enema when you're not making bile, what good is it? I mean, you're not going to get the deepest effect. The other thing is this, okay? When you do the enemas, try two in a row. In other words, try to do one on, if you're off weekends, do one Saturday, the next Sunday. Don't separate them by a number of days, okay?
Great.
Now here's the thing. I'm not going to let you go yet, because a lot of people have this issue.
Okay.
When they remove the gallbladder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody took the time to clean way up in the bile ducts of the liver. So those areas are still corroded. Okay? So it's not just that we don't have a gallbladder, and so when we eat our foods with fat, it's tough to get digestion. It's not just that. It's that because the bile ducts way high up in the liver are still clogged,
okay.
We can't clean the blood as well. We don't clean the blood as fast anymore. And that's okay. What can set you up for problems. So one thing you want to make sure you do, in addition okay. to the coffee enemas, is at about 10 o'clock in the morning, I want you to do, on a different day, the mini liver gallbladder flush. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can call my place down in Santa Monica. You can call Texas. But you need to do the mini flush. That's where you drink a little bit of olive oil, Patricia, in the morning. And then you don't eat for about 3, 4, 5 hours. And if you do that, you do it at about 10 a.m. in the morning. What it's going to allow for then is a cleaning way high up in those bile ducts in a way that the coffee enema won't accomplish. Coffee enema does one thing, the olive oil flush does another. A really, really good book for you to get is The Great Gallbladder Cleanse by a guy named Moritz. M-O-R-I-T-Z. M-O-R-I-T-Z, Moritz. The Great Gallbladder Flush. You want to understand this because we have to make your liver. Remember, the liver does over 1,200 things, Patricia.
Okay.
So if we don't move the poison out of the blood fast enough through the liver, the blood will back up the poison into the organ systems, and then you start having tons of symptoms that nobody tells you are related to the fact that we took the gallbladder out.
Wow.
Okay? That's a big deal. So you stay in touch with me, or you stay in touch with my office if you want, and what you do is you make sure that when you do these olive oil flushes, because that's the real way to tell, that you can swallow olive oil and you don't get sick or nauseous and it's just fine. If you can do that, okay, it means that your liver is producing enough bile and the bile ducts are clean enough.
Okay.
The coffee enema is important, but it's harder for you to tell. You're not going to see, most likely, you're not going to see bile in the toilet when you do a coffee enema. If you do, I want to hear from you, because I haven't heard anybody do that yet without a gallbladder.
Okay.
But the one...
So it's important, it's important for me to do the
olive oil flushes.
The olive oil flush is seriously important. Okay, I didn't realize that.
You wouldn't. It took me about 5-6 years of practicing this stuff to realize that myself. So I certainly understand. But the thing is that when you can do these mini olive oil flushes, we say call it the mini liver flush, and you can drink the olive oil, you don't get tired. You're not nauseous. You don't itch. You don't have any negative reaction. It means we're moving bile through the bile ducts way up in your liver.
Okay, and how long do you suggest that I do the mini?
I'd say about 30 times.
30.
So you could do it every week for 30 weeks.
Because it's only once a week that you do this.
Exactly. Right? The mini liver flush is a cinch, Patricia, and it's just easy to do, but it's so vital for you. Because no one's going to tell you the side effects of pulling out that gallbladder. Okay?
So with having high blood pressure, because I do have that, and that's going to help all of that probably too, huh?
If you've been listening to my show, I went through this, the 10 most important things, the signs.
Right.
This is running the show. That patency through your biliary system, it's running so many things. So the answer is yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Stay in touch
Thank
with me.
You, so much.
You have a lot of vibrance. You have a lot of vibrance, Patricia, in your voice. Okay. Stay on this. You'll heal.
I will. Thank you so much, Dr. Medici.
You got it.
All that you and Dr. Marshall do. Okay.
You got it. Thank you. Okay. I talk too much today. I'm going to be off the air talking to patients for a while. Okay. I've got Helen. Helen is from New Hampshire calling in. She's 97 years old, and she tried to go gluten-free, and she's doing well. And she's 97. I'm sorry. I got to pick that up. Hello, Helen.
I'm right here.
God bless you. You are 97, and you're in New Hampshire.
Yes.
I lived in Nashua, New Hampshire, for a year and a half. I couldn't take the cold, so I left for California. But what part of New Hampshire?
Right on the Connecticut River.
Wow, river. I love it. I love it. You should be teaching me about health, but do you have a health concern, or you just want to go on another 50 years? And I'm sure you could. Is there a health concern specifically?
Well, the one thing is aches and pains in the back.
Okay. A couple of things, and I'm going to probably follow up with you here. Do you take vitamin D? One thing, Helen, that's super, super important is to make sure that your vitamin D levels are much higher than I'm sure they are.
I take the D3.
You do? Fantastic. Yeah. How many drops of D3 do you take a day?
I take one tablet.
Okay. Do you know how many units are in that?
Well, I can very shortly find out. I think it's five.
About 5,000. Okay. That's probably correct. Here's the thing, Helen. You have got to make sure that the amount of vitamin D you're taking has brought your vitamin D levels up, write this number down, to 80. Vitamin 25 hydroxy vitamin D has to be up at the number 80, 80.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not up at 80, as your doctor tests it, if it's not up at 80, I want you to increase the dosage, or ask your doctor to increase the dosage 5 or even 10 times. It's okay to take 20, 30,000 units a day until you get up to 80. But what may be happening is that number is not high enough. You're vitamin D deficient, which will mean you're calcium deficient, which will mean your bones will ache. So this is one thing. The next thing is there's a supplement called Coral Legend. Okay, it's a white mineral powder. It's not a synthetic, and that's important. Okay. It's a natural food. When the coral reefs in Indonesia, when they die naturally, they drop to the ocean floor, and we harvest them, we grind them into powders, and in those powders are tremendous amounts of calcium, magnesium, balanced, and trace minerals. And if you mix a teaspoon of that in some orange juice twice a day, a teaspoon of that and some fresh squeezed orange juice on an empty stomach twice a day, it'll really give you a good absorbable calcium, which with the vitamin D, this blows away calcium citrate and the rest of it. And I want to make sure you have those two basics going. Okay?
Yes. And what is the name of this?
It's called Coral, C-O-R-A-L, C-O-R-A-L, Coral.
Oh, yes.
Legend, L-E-G-E-N-D, Coral Legend. And you mix a teaspoon morning and evening with fresh squeezed orange juice. You drink that.
I don't drink orange juice.
You can do it then with any juice you want, as long as there's something called liquid aloe that you can get from the same place. Aloe vera juice, liquid aloe, A-L-O-E. And you can mix it into the aloe juice.
Okay.
And it makes sure that those minerals get up into your blood. Okay, so that's, I'm sure you're going to need more mineral. I know your vitamin D is still low. 5,000 units in New Hampshire. You know, I live there. You don't get enough sun. And the body's wrapped up all day. And even if you're out gardening, which I'm sure you are, I haven't spoken to anyone over 90 that doesn't garden. Okay.
I sure do.
Yeah, see, that's what I told you.
Yep.
All right. If you have questions, I want you to hang on. I'll talk to you more after the show. It's been really nice to talk to you. I'm sorry I don't have more time, but I'll hang on after the show. I think I'm going to be working another few more hours. Really nice to meet you.
Well, it was great to meet you, too. And your helper here is a marvelous grandniece of mine.
Okay. You take care. All right. It's 10:55. I got to wrap it up. All right. We did the 10 signs today that you are on your way that may occur before you begin to reduce or get rid of your symptoms. Before you feel better, those 10 signs may come into play. I'm going to repeat this again and again and again. You use these signs to bolster yourself so that you'll sustain a healing. Maybe next week we'll cover the other 10. Also, if you're at your wit's end with a particular health concern and you feel you're the kind of patient that's ready to sustain a healing, you know what to do then. That's 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. You call Rachel or Joanna. I'm sure I can help if you want the help. All right, that's it. Happy Father's Day tomorrow. Hope it's been fun. I'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.